All right, so it is 9 o'clock, I'll begin. So good morning, welcome to the session on Column Store. My name is Sunil Agarwal. I'm a program manager with SQL Server team. I've been with SQL for last 14 years, and I've been with databases for last 30 years. So I've been working with databases for a long time. And I'm part of SQL product team, but in a special group called SQL Tiger Team. And SQL Tiger Team mission is to make our tier one customers successful with SQL Server. So if you're thinking about deploying SQL Server 16 for your workload, and if you have any questions about it, feel free to reach out to me. My email is right there. I'll be more than happy to look at the architecture and guide you what features in SQL Server 16 could help your workload, all right? Just do that, I'll be more than happy. So the column store technology has been in SQL Server for three releases, 12, 14, and 16. So I just wanted to know how many of you have used this technology in your workloads. Okay, I see approximately 10% of you have used it. How many of you know about this technology? Okay, so that's actually pretty good. 50% or so people know about this technology. So the interesting thing is that this is a significant technology for SQL Server product, and we have improved this technology release after release. And what I want to show you what we have done for SQL Server 16, which is much, much better than what we had for 2014. All right. Other important thing is that Microsoft delivers the technology on Box, which is your traditional SQL Server. We deliver the same technology in the cloud, either as a VM, which is like a box, right? Or as a service. So because the same code base, whatever we are talking here, is available on the box as well as in the cloud, all right? So this is a same code base technology available all over the map. Okay. Your feedback is extremely important. Please do fill out the session. We take this thing very seriously, learn from it, and improve our sessions conference after the conference. Okay. So the session objective is, 50% of you know Column Store. I want to just go over and say why Column Store is such a great technology for analytics, okay? SQL Server team is recommending Column Store as the first technology that you should think about when you have analytics workload, right? It is it's that critical. So once you go, the other objective that I have is I want to show you the changes that we have done for Column Store in 2016, right? Now, when you walk out of this session, my goal is that you will be convinced that SQL Server 16 is a much stronger release from a Column Store perspective, and you can achieve very high performance with Column Store without changing your application, okay? So this is the important point. If you have not used Column Store and you want to improve the performance of your analytics, you can use Column Store without changing your application. I think that's a key value proposition. Having said that, let me show you a little magic, okay? And it is actually interesting. I'm gonna do the same magic using Column Store, okay? So you can see my screen, everybody can look at the thing, right? So what I want to show you a typical analytics query. So what you see is that I have a fact table, that you see a fact table here, right? There's a fact table. And I'm joining with three dimension tables. So it is a star schema data warehouse. You have a fact table and multiple dimension tables and doing a join, all right? This join, I'm gonna run here. And this table that you see here, it is called Fact Reseller Sales Excel. I'm gonna run this guy. It is using the row store. This is the traditional storage model that you have in SQL Server, okay? It's gonna do three joins and do multiple aggregates. This query runs approximately in 37 seconds, okay? Now, what I want to show you is I'm gonna take the same query, same box. I'm gonna change my index to use Column Store index. And you will see without making any changes to my query, just by changing the index, I can run this query over 10 times faster on my box. Okay, so that's the magic. It should finish approximately now. So, okay, it is taking longer. Okay, so 45 seconds. It wants to make my demo even stronger, right? Okay, so 45 seconds. All right, so what I do, let's say you have this situation, your query is running 45 seconds. 45 seconds is not bad. So let's say your manager comes and says, I want to run this query much, much faster. What do? You will look at the query plans. You see if any index is missing, right? You do all kinds of tuning. Now you have one more tool in your pocket, and all you do is you create a clustered column store index on this table. So what it does is it removes the row store storage of the data and converts that into a column store, okay? Now, obviously, if I had a cluster index on my table before I ran this command, I have to say create cluster column store index, drop existing, right? Okay, so the magic is you just create a cluster column store index. I'm gonna run the same query, okay, same query. And you will see that this query runs much, much faster. See, that's all I did, right? It query ran in less than, in 3 seconds. So from 45 seconds to 3 seconds, which is approximately 15 times faster on this box. And all I did was I created a clustered column store index, okay? That's the power. Now, if you want to see what kind of storage savings I got, so let me use SP space used. The first SP space used is on the table, which is stored in the traditional format, okay? And the second one is the column store. I'm just saying Excel under CCI. CCI stands for clustered column store index, all right? Let me run that guy. And what you will see is that if you look at the storage reserved here is 2.5 gigabyte, right? This is 2.5 gigabyte. And here I'm taking 700 megabyte. So I reduced my storage approximately 4x, right? And I improved my performance significantly. So key takeaway from column store indexes, it can give you pretty amazing compression, the storage savings. On top of that, you can get significant query improvement, okay? So it's like best of both worlds, right? So that's the magic I was talking about. Now, let's just say why it is so good. So I'm gonna go behind the scene, why column store gives you such a good compression and gives you such a good performance. So that's my presentation going forward. So let me go to the presentation. Any questions so far on this? No, it's all good, right? Okay. So column store, why? This is just one slide to give you the motivation why column store. So what I'm showing you in the yellow is how the data was stored traditionally in SQL Server tables. This is same as Oracle, DB2, right? We store data as rows. So suppose you have a table with, say, 10 columns. You insert a row, you put the row on a page. You insert the next row, it goes to the same page because there's a space. And once the page becomes full, what happens? We allocate a new page, and on and on and on, right? So this is a typical storage structure for the rows. Now, if you think about transactional workload, like OLTP workload, right? Let's take an example of a order entry workload. You go to Amazon, you place an order, right? So you have an order, you have 5 line items, so you do 5 inserts into the tables, right? And then what you do, you say, show my status. You say, show my order, right? So the key point is the transactional workload works on very small set of rows in a typical environment and inserts few rows and queries few rows. Agree? Analytics, on the other hand, queries millions of rows, billions of rows, okay? Anybody has a data warehouse here over terabyte? Anybody? Lot of you. Okay, anybody over 30 terabytes? Okay. I'm gonna show you a benchmark that we have done with 30 terabytes with column store, and it is an industry leading benchmark. So what I'm saying is the column store technology, if you have a 30 terabyte data warehouse, we give approximately 10 times compression with column store. That means 30 terabyte became 3 terabyte. Your storage saving is huge, and we can deliver much, much better performance. So this technology can deliver very good performance with this large amount of data. So the question is, if you have row store, and you are running a query that is munching billions of rows, right? Imagine this. If you have this row stored as pages, it'll be a lot of file. It'll be a lot more inefficient. So what we found was that there is a point where the row store breaks down. It does not deliver right performance for large data warehouses, okay? So the row store, what we are saying is, it is ideal for transactional workload. It is okay for lower end data warehouses. Some of you may use page compression to reduce the size, right? So it works, but beyond certain size of your data warehouse, the row store does not deliver the performance that you need in today's market, right? So what is column store? Column store is a different way of storing the same data that you have. So here, what I'm showing you, the table, you see these vertical bars, right? Each bar represents a column. So in this case, I'm showing you there is a table with 5 columns, right? Instead of storing that row, those all 5 columns as a row, which I'm showing in yellow, right? I'm storing that as a column. So column C1 is stored. All the column C1 values across all rows is stored together, then C2 and C3. Now, one key benefit of that is, if I want to do compression, right? Column C1, if it is stored together, let's say billion row table, I can get much, much better compression because a lot of values will be similar. Agree? So I get significant amount of compression. So now imagine, if I had a 30 terabyte database and I compress really well, I can reduce my I/O in a big way because when I'm munching so much data, I have to reduce my I/O. So we are able to get approximately 10 times compression with column store storage, all right? Now, how many of you have used page compression? A lot of you have used page compression. Column store gives you on approximately, this depends on the data and the schema, column store gives you around 5 times more compression on top of page compress table. So suppose you have a page compress table, you enable column store on index on it, you can get 5 times more compression, okay? So you can understand why I'm getting such a good compression, okay? Now the second thing which is actually very important, you know, when you have a fact table has a lot of columns, like 50 columns, 70 columns, 100 columns, right? Anybody has a fact table of 50 columns or more? Some of you, right? Now when you're doing analytics, you're not really querying all 50 columns together, right? You are querying a subset of columns. Okay? You say, I want to find the sales for this product over last 10 years, grouped by quarter, right? So you want to do that kind of query. Now, if you have stored the data as row store, and let's say I was looking only for 3 columns, okay? And I had, let me say in a different way. Let's say I was looking for 10 columns, and I had 100 columns in the table. It just makes it easy to do the math. 10 columns you wanted in the query, and you have 100 columns in the table. With the row store, you are forced to read those extra 90 columns, even though you did not want them. Agree? Because you're storing data as columns, you're only fetching the columns that you need. Agree? That means I can reduce my I/O, assuming everything was same size. Simplified assumption, but I mean, it makes it easier. Same size. That means right there, I reduce my I/O 90% because I'm fetching only 10% of my columns, right? On top of that, if I compress my data 10 times, right? So the 10 became 1, right? That means I reduce my I/O 99%, right? That's the power. You get very good compression, and you only fetch columns that you need. Okay, those are the two magic things. Now you would think, okay, the column store technology is not something that Microsoft created. This technology came from universities, right? All commercial vendors have adopted this technology, okay? Everybody stores like column store. So the question is, okay, so you have column store, Oracle has column store, DB2 has column store, HANA has column store. Why it is better for SQL Server? And why it is better is we do some magic. What we do is we have this special processing of the data in column store with SQL Server. So to give you a simple example, so let's say I was doing an aggregate on my quarterly sales, okay? Let's say each quarter I have 1 million records that I'm aggregating, okay? So the way query processing works is it says, get me the next value. I'm gonna sum it, right? I'm adding the quarterly sale, and then I'm gonna divide by the total number of sales for that quarter, right? That's what I do. I'm getting one row at a time. Because it is column store, and we know in SQL Server that you're processing a lot of values, so instead of getting one value at a time, we get a batch of values. We say, get me next 1,000 values. Okay, we get next 1,000 values, we can aggregate them much, much faster. Imagine, right, if you're calling one method every time for a single row versus batch processing. So with that processing, we can improve the query performance 4 to 10 times on average, okay? So compression, choosing the columns that we need, and the batch mode processing, these three combinations gives us the industry-leading performance with column store. So we believe our column store in SQL Server 16 is the best in the industry, okay? Now to say that, let me support this with some data for you, okay? Now what you see here is that, let me see if I can project it. So this is a benchmark 10 terabyte database. This is a TPCH benchmark. This is an industry standard benchmark for analytics workload, okay? This is 10 terabyte. What you see here is that SQL Server, the first six rows, the top six rows, are from SQL Server, right? You can see SQL Server 14, that was released over here, right? These four rows are SQL Server 16, and the last two that you see are SQL Server 16, and it is released as recent as 11th of July. So for 10 terabytes, SQL Server, either 14 or 16, is the industry-leading benchmark, both from performance perspective as well as cost perspective at the industry, right? We also released a benchmark on 30 terabyte, right? This is huge, right? You have 30 terabyte benchmark. So when you look at our next competition, if you look, actually go to the TPCH website, you will see the next competitor is 7 on the 7th row, right? And the reason is our technology, because of batch processing, gives us the edge over our competition. Now, let me show you one more interesting thing. We, as I said, we did a lot of investments in SQL Server 16 for column store technology. So what you see here is that we ran the same benchmark, the TPCH benchmark. In this case, it is 3 terabyte, okay? You see here, let me see where my mouse is. Yeah, 3 terabyte, right? We ran this benchmark on SQL Server 14. Then we ran the same benchmark on 2016. And what you see is we got 40% improvement on top of 14, right? So this is the benchmark. I'm not saying you will get 40% improvement when you upgrade to 16. You may get 70 or you may get 20, right? But the point is we have made significant improvements in 16 to get this kind of numbers, right? So industry leading and significant changes from 14 to 16. Now the beauty is that if you were running 14 with column store, and you install SQL 16 without any changes, zero, you can get a much better query performance, okay? So that's the power. So let me walk through how people do analytics today, okay? What people do is they do a ETL, right? You're doing an ETL from multiple sources. You land this data into a relational system. In this case, I'm showing you SQL Server data warehouse, right? And then what you do is you have a visualization tool, which I'm showing you as a BI tool from Microsoft. And then what you do is when you want to run analytics, you want to do modeling, right? People use SQL Server analysis services, right? How many of you use SQL Server analysis services here? I would say 25%, right? So you do modeling through that, right? Now what happens is when you run the query, to run the query, you have to first create the cube or fetch the data, right? Because you want to run the queries much faster, so people do cubes of the queries, right? So you ETL the data into a data warehouse, and then you create your cubes, okay? So imagine this, in the morning, at 10 in the morning, I ETL my data. It may take me 2 hours to create all my cubes, right? So that means data is available for my querying at noon, not at 10 when the data landed in the SQL Server, right? So now what you do is when the query is executed, it is executed in, not in SQL Server here, right? It is executed in the analysis services, right? Because we are running the query against the cube, okay? Now the problem with this one is there's a data latency I was talking about, right? You load the data at 10, but data is only available at 12. And the reports that you do are limited to the query, the queries that you do are limited to the cubes that you have created. If you want to drill down further, and the cube does not have that kind of a granularity, you can't drill down further, right? If you created the cube on a monthly data, you can't say, show me on a weekly boundary, right? You cannot do that. And of course, the data has to be refreshed periodically, because data is coming ETL. Let's say you are getting data nonstop every 5 minutes, but your cube gets refreshed every day. I'm just making this up. That means your analytics is one day behind because you're running analytics on the cube, okay? Now, with this kind of performance that we are giving with the column store index, we are telling our customers, do not worry about cubes. Just query the data warehouse directly. All right, so I'm going to show you the same scenario with column store. Same thing, ETL. And what you do is, same visualization tool, you can even have analysis services. So here's the interesting thing. We are saying that instead of caching the data, do the direct query model for tabular model, or do ROLAP for your multidimensional model, okay? So what happens is, what is direct query? Direct query is when you want to visualize say some charts, the query is created by the analysis services through the direct query mode, and it is sent to SQL Server, which has column store index on it, and the query is run on SQL Server, okay? And because the query performance is so good, you will be able to get the data to your visualization tool right away. And the key point is you are not creating a cube, you're not worried about refresh. What it means is, as soon as the data lands into the data warehouse, you can visualize it, right? So zero latency after data has been ETL'd, right? And also it simplifies the implementation. Now having said that, column store performance, right, cannot match with what you can get with the cubes, because cubes is pre-aggregated, right? You cannot. But the key point is, if I was getting a query performance, say, in a second through my cube, and if I can get the same query performance in 2 seconds with my column store, but it is up to date, I would rather choose the column store, right? So as a designer, you have to think about which queries I should run against my cube. I'm not saying remove cubes. I'm not saying that, right? You may still want to do cubes, right? But with the column store, you get a lot more flexibility that as soon as you ETL the data, you can run your queries on column store through direct query mode. And if for some queries you need much, much smaller or shorter execution time, you may choose to create cubes. So it is not saying that either or, you can design that way, all right? So in this case, as I said, the query is running inside SQL Server Engine with column store. So it is, in some ways, now because data is basically the raw data, so you can do interactive analytics, right? You can do whatever query you want because you can query the data that you just loaded, right? There is no cube here. Of course, complexity is much lower, and you can get, as I said, with columns or good query performance. Now, here is something that we have done with 2016. The analysis services, 2016, has improved the quality of the direct query that it generates, okay? So what they did, this is actually very interesting. They ran a workload through direct query mode, analysis services 2014, right? And then what they did was they switched from analysis services 2014 to 2016. The database was still the same, SQL Server was still the same, and they found 5 times better query performance because the analysis services 2016 was giving a better query. Because if you do a better query, SQL Server can optimize better, right? It can get results faster. I'm sure all of us have seen queries that are poorly written and it does a very bad performance, right? We have seen those things. So you rewrite the query in a better way, SQL Server can optimize and give that, right? So the direct query mode in 2016 gives you much better query. So now you have a combination of analysis services 2016 and SQL Server engine 2016 with column store. Together, you can make your analytics workload go much faster in the direct query mode. Okay. Now, let me go and talk about what we have done in SQL Server 2016 for column store. Okay. Now, there are 2 key things that you do for data warehouse. One is the data load, and number 2 is the query, right? So I want to walk through what we have done for data load, and then what we have done for the query, all right? Okay. So you see the structure that is, I'm showing you this structure. This is the column store. Now you notice you will see some vertical bars here, right? And also you're seeing this yellow lines, right? So here is an interesting point. When you are inserting data into a table with column store, so let's say I insert one row, just one row. Do you think I can compress it? One row? I can't really compress. One row, I won't get good compression. So what we found was, by running some heuristics, that we need to have approximately 1 million rows to get good compression. So that means when you are inserting rows into a column store, we are not compressing it right away. We accumulate up to 1 million rows before we initiate compression behind the scene. You don't have to worry about that, but it is happening behind the scene. So what I'm showing you through yellow line, this is the row store that is sitting inside the column store, okay? So it is a complex structure, so don't get me wrong. This is a complex structure. So this row store that is created inside column store index is behind the scene. You don't have to worry about it. And we call this yellow guy a delta store, okay? This is the differential data that is coming. So once you're inserting rows, you get 1 million rows. We say, okay, I can compress, and we can compress it. So when we did the heuristic, we found that any time you have more than 100,000 rows, you can get good compression, okay? When I say 100,000, I mean binary 100,000, 1024 into 1024, which is 100,256, right? That's what it is, or 576. So that's how the data lands. Now, when you do the bulk load into your column store, okay, if you have a batch size, here I'm showing you the batch size, if it is less than 100,000, because it is lower than our ideal number for compression, we put that data into this delta row group. Okay, we don't compress it. We collect in the delta row group. Okay, now if you had a batch size of another, suppose you want to do another batch load. When we are loading the data here, we take an exclusive lock on the delta row group. We take exclusive lock. So when I load in parallel my bulk load, the next import will go to a new delta row group. Behind the scene, we will create as many delta row groups as we need because we want to load the data in parallel, okay? So you do that. But if you choose a batch size of greater than or equal to 100,000, we directly compress them, okay? And that's the fastest path to load the data. So our recommendation is the best practice is when you're bulk importing data into column store, choose a batch size of more than 100,000 because it will compress data directly. Because it is compressed directly and assuming 10 times compression, that means your logging will be much, much less, right? Because your size that you're logging will be 10 times lower. because data is 10 times compressed, right? So you get much better bulk load performance. We did some experiment. This is with bulk load. This is with 2014. We found on a 16-core machine, we can load in parallel, right? We could load 600 gigabyte per hour, okay? So that's like a kind of bulk load you can do. If you're running on a bigger machine, you can load in parallel, right? So if the loading is an issue, column store can help the data load in a significant way. Now, one challenge a lot of people have with the bulk load is because on the fact table, there are a lot of indexes, right? You may have cluster index and 10 non-cluster indexes. Because you have those indexes, the bulk load is slow because the indexes have to be maintained. With the cluster column store index, the number of indexes required is much, much lower because query performance is so much faster, you may not need all the indexes. In fact, 2014 does not allow any other index on the cluster column store index table. We do not allow. That's the only index. That means I can bulk load much faster because there is no other index, right? So with the cluster column store index, batch size 100,000, you can load data much, much faster than a traditional fact table with multiple indexes. Okay, very important point. So this pretty much lists what I was talking about. Now, the second thing that we have done, so this is how people load data. They load data from external files. In many cases, people do ETL, in the sense extract from wherever, and then transform, right? That means data comes and lands into a staging table, okay? So in this case, what I'm going to show you is that you have data into a staging table, and now you want to move data from the staging table into the column store, right? The example that I'm showing you, you're moving data from a staging table into a column store, right? So you will write this query, insert into column store, select star from the row store staging table. Make sense? Right? Here, if the number of rows in your staging table is under 100,000, same rule, it will go to the delta row group, okay? And if it is more than 100,000, it will go just like before, it will go to the compressed store. Again, when you're doing this thing, you want to make sure your data that you're moving is over 100,000, all right? Now, so again, the data import is there, but it is insert in SQL Server. Before 2016, this insert was single threaded. So suppose I was running on a 64-core machine, and I say insert into select star from the staging table, insert is only being done by one thread. Your 63 threads are sleeping for that duration, right? So what we did was, for 2016, we made this insert in parallel. So you just run the command, insert into column store index, select star from the staging table, it will go in parallel, right? Very powerful. Other thing that we did was, I told you, in 2014, we did not have a index on top of a cluster column store index. If you create that index, CCI, you cannot create any other index, okay? Now, which is good in the sense, you don't have to worry about tuning, right? Because you don't have to worry about which index to create, index fragmentation, all kinds of stuff, right? So that works well. However, there are scenarios where you want to have an index on top of a cluster column store index. So this was an example of a cluster column store index in 2014, multiple delta row groups. Now notice I have this separate vertical thing that you see is called delete bitmap. Now this is actually an interesting point. So imagine you have compressed the data, right? The data has been compressed here. And let's say you want to delete a row, right? Which is sitting here. Now how will you delete the row? You have to uncompress this data, figure out where that value was and remove that, right? Unlike row store, where you know exactly where the row is, you can just remove it. So that would be very expensive operation, right? So what we do is, instead of removing the row from this place, we mark it in another structure. Again, this is the internal structure of column store, and say this row is deleted. That means when I'm running the query, we will filter that row out, right? Okay. So that is the delete bitmap. So So now with the cluster column store index, you can get 10 times compression. And this is the only index supported in 2014. Now, here's the interesting point. When I create a cluster column store index, some of you may be surprised. We do not require any key column. Have you seen an index without a key column? Any index that we create before column store index came about, you have to say, what is the key column? With column store index, there is no key column. So now imagine I create a column store index without a key column. And now if I want to enforce uniqueness, let's say I wanted to enforce uniqueness on column C1. If the data does not have any ordering, how do I enforce the uniqueness? That means you could not do unique constraints in cluster column store index with 2014. So that was one limitation that we had. Now, there are tricks. There are tricks you can do. You can create a materialized view on top of a cluster column store index and do it, right? Okay, so you can do that. This was an issue for a lot of our customers. Other thing which was interesting is when we update a row in the column store index, we take a lock at the row group level. Okay, now what is a row group? Remember, I'm showing you these vertical bars. Let's say I have a billion rows in a table, right? Let's say billion rows in a table. I could choose to compress billion values of a single column together. I could choose, right? But then the problem would be whenever I want to fetch that column, I have to read those billion values back, right? Instead, what we did was we broke those billion values into smaller chunks, which we call row groups. So each row group is around million rows, okay? That means I have million values chunked together, okay? This is what you're seeing in these vertical things. Now, this is actually very important because what happens is a lot of analytics happens on the time boundary. You're inserting the data, like sales data is coming, right? So the data gets naturally ordered in the time boundary because I'm getting data from yesterday and that, right? It gets. Now, if I'm saying, give me the data for this quarter, the last 3 months, I know I do not have to read the data from the previous quarters. Make sense? And what we do is, for each of these guys, which you see here, we remember behind the scene, we remember the min value and the max value. So let's say this column that I'm showing you here is the date column. So it will have the min date and the max date. So if I'm saying, give me data from the last quarter, I know by looking at the metadata of this row group that I do not have to read this row group because this is from 3 months older, right? You see my point? So this actually is quite important. But when we do the locking, when I do update, we take a lock at the row group level. So basically, we are locking million rows together, right? Now, that doesn't work very well for concurrent operations. So suppose I was doing merge, where I say, if the row exists, update. If row does not exist, insert, right? If I do merge operation, which is common operation in the data load, if the data was compressed, it is going to be locking at million row boundary. That means my merge will become single threaded. That was the next problem that we had. So what we did in 2016, we said we need to provide a way to enforce uniqueness. So what we allowed you to create now non-cluster indexes on top of a cluster column store index, okay? The indexes that I'm showing you here, they are your traditional B-tree indexes, okay? Those B-tree indexes. So now, the way to think about all these things is the cluster column store index that you have with SQL Server, think of it as like a heap. The reason I'm saying it is a heap, has no data ordering, right? No ordering. So cluster column store index is a heap stored as columns, okay? So what we are doing is now with 2016, we are creating non-cluster indexes on a heap, if you will, right? That's how I'm thinking about, right? It's a heap. Now, because it is a non-cluster index, I still can get 10 times compression for my main data, right? But because I have B-tree indexes on my cluster column store index, I can do equality searches very well. Imagine Imagine in 2014, without a non-cluster index, see, I'm not saying non-cluster column store, I'm saying non-cluster index, traditional non-cluster index. If I was going to say, find me a row where employee ID is 5, let's say that. Imagine there was no other index. I have to do a full table scan. Agree? Full table scan, because I don't know where to go. Now, if you have a non-cluster index on employee ID on your CCI, I'm going to start using the word CCI. It is actually shorter to CCI. So if I'm going to say, show me a row where employee ID is 5, and there's a non-cluster index on CCI, on employee ID, I can traverse the index, and it can tell me which row groups. Notice I'm not saying page, because I think of row group like a page, right? Which row group and which value in the row group. Like it's like a grid, page ID and the row ID, right? That's what you have in a heap. Here, the value of the NCI will say which row group and which value within the row group, okay? So we can now find the data in a given row group, right? We do not have to do table scan. A lot of times people do drill downs. I say, show me the data of the quarter, then I want to drill down at a day level, right? So those kind of queries where you're doing short range scans, NCI could be very, very useful, okay? So that's one. Other important thing is I can create a unique non-cluster index on my CCI. Now I can enforce uniqueness. Previously, I could not do that, right? And if my access to the data, if I'm modifying the data, if I'm accessing through the non-cluster index, I can get the lock. I can get the lock at the non-cluster index, so I can get row-level locking. So with NCI, I can enforce uniqueness. I can do fast searches for my quality search, short-range searches, and I can get row-level locking, which can make my merge much, much faster. Okay, so very, very powerful addition to SQL Server. Now, let me show you a demo on all these three things, okay? Let me go back to 7. Question, any questions so far? Okay. Yes, sir. So the question is, we had this rule of 100,000, so what happens is, so let's say you are doing a merge, and merge is gonna touch million rows, okay? I'll make a very simple case. If all of those million rows were inserts, because there was no matching, it'll become, oh, right? It'll become.
Well, my question is really more the other way. How are updates?
Right, right.
I don't know how it's gonna
happen. That's right, that's right. So let me try to answer that question in a simpler way. So let's say the million rows that you were updating as part of merge. Let's say I was updating all my rows as part of my merge. If those sitting in the delta row group, I'll just update in the delta row group. Okay? Now, if let's say I was updating 500,000 rows in the compressed part, and 500 will be new insert, 500,000, right? So those 500,000 in the compressed part will be an update, which will be updating the delete bitmap. And the new 500,000 they're inserting will get compressed directly. Okay, that's how it'll work. Okay, good question. So now let me go to the new functionality in SQL Server 2016. And I go here and, so first thing I want to show you is the moving the data from a staging table, okay? Moving the data from a staging table. So here what I'll do is I have a temporary table, which I'm going to drop. And I'm going to create a empty table. What I did was, you see that CCI test? So it's like a cluster column store index test, temporary table, right? And I'm going to create a cluster column store index on it. So what I got is now a table, which is empty, and it has a cluster column store index on it, all right? So now what I'm gonna do is, I'm gonna insert 400,000 rows into my temporary column store table. Okay. So when I do that, do you think it'll get compressed into the compressed store, or it'll go to the delta store? It'll get compressed. Anybody on the delta store? Nobody, right? I mean, the rule is 100,000, right? So let me try this. And here, I'm running on a four-core machine. So with 2016, we will run this command in parallel behind the scene. And I have four cores. That means each core will get, on average, 100,000 rows. You see that? OK. So it is done? OK. Sorry? Tab block, yeah. So this is a good question. To get the parallel load, you require the tab block. If you don't do the tab block, it will go single-threaded. Okay, so you require the tab block. And let me show you the query plan. You see that it is inserting in parallel? Okay, this was not possible in 16. So now you can move data from a staging table to column store in parallel. And now if I want to look at the row groups, okay, remember each row group was talking about like a million rows? If I go here, you notice each row group is 100,000. Now you will ask, hey, 100,000, why was it not compressed, right? This is not 100,000 when I say for column store. It is 1024. It's a binary 100,000. 1024 into 1024, which is 100576, right? I intentionally chose that, right? So it is like that. So it did not get compressed, and it is sitting in the delta row group. You see that? Okay. Now, let me do something interesting. I can force the compression. This was not available in 2016. Let's say I'm done with my bulk load. I want to compress them. Okay? I want to force compression. I do not want to wait, because SQL Server will not compress it. Because SQL Server is saying, I want million rows, because it wants a million rows, right, from delta row group. So I'm going to do this command. And you can compress it. So now, once I compress it, when we compress in this command, we take each of those open row groups, which is the delta row group, we just compress it. We don't merge anything. We just compress it. So you will get four compressed row groups, each of size 100,000. So when I do that, let's look at that thing. I don't think I need a query plan here. And so I'm going to run this command and show you. So notice they became compressed, right? 100,000. And the tombstone is something new in 2016, okay? The tombstone is the old delta row groups that were sitting, they tombstone. They are going to be garbage collected behind the scene, okay? They are just marked as not visible, but they are still there. We will deallocate that. And the reason we do that is if you were running query under snapshot isolation, when you do all this compression, there may be transactions running behind the scene, which may be accessing the delta store. We cannot just remove them like that, right? So we do some magic behind the scene. Now, here is something very interesting. Have you seen index fragmentation? I mean, all of us seen index fragmentation, right? And what do you do when you have index fragmentation? Some of you defrag, and some of you rebuild, right? So what does fragmentation mean for column store? Because column store, we are not maintaining any order, right? Data is just packed as much, right? The fragmentation in column store means I have a lot of deleted rows in my compressed row groups. Because if I have a lot of deleted rows, I'm inserting those values in a delete bitmap, right? I'm marking them deleted, but I'm not removing it. So essentially what you have is you have a lot of wasted space, and also the query performance will get slower because we have to filter those rows, right? So in 2016, we made a option available to you guys to defrag your column store index, which means remove those deleted rows from the compressed row group. And I'm going to show you that, okay? So now everything is compressed, right? I'm going to delete 30,000 rows. Now these rows will be marked as deleted because this is compressed, right? If I go and look at my column store row groups, notice tombstone went away. Right, garbage collection happened. And notice here, I'm seeing 30,000 rows are deleted, right? I still have 100,000 rows in that row group, and I'm marking 30,000 deleted, right? So what you do in 2016 is to reorganize, you just run this command, alter index reorganize. I'm just going to do this command. So this defragmented my index. So what I expect after running this command, my deleted rows are gone. Agree? Okay, let's see that. And notice something interesting happened. Even though, like, there are four tombstone groups, and I got one compressed row. So what happened? Behind the scene, we created a new compressed row group because we had four compressed row groups, each of size 100,000, right? From one row group, we deleted 30,000 rows, right? So what only we do in our defragmentation, we remove the deleted rows, right? And also combine those row groups that were less than a million rows. Okay, so notice my compressed row group has become now 370,000 rows. Right? You got that point? Because we are not only removing the deleted rows, we're merging them. Right? So from four row groups, we went to one. Even if I did not delete a row, if I did reorganize, I'll get one compressed row group with 400,000 rows. Okay. Now, this is actually important because when you're bulk importing data with a batch size of, say, 100,000, you're getting a lot of compressed row groups of 100,000 each. And if you want to combine them, you can combine them through reorganize command, which was not possible before. Okay. Now, the second demo I want to show you is about the index. So here, I'm going to have a table. Like, I'm going to create this fact table. I think this table exists. Let me just see. No, I think this table does not exist. Let me create this table. And notice, here's an interesting point. I create this table, right? So far, it's a normal table. I did not say anything about column store, right? It's a normal table. I create this table, and then I'm going to create a cluster column store index on it, right? In 2014, this command would have failed. In 2014, it would have said, well, cluster column store index cannot have any other indexes. Now it is supported, so we will inherit that index. So what you see in this table is you have two indexes. One is CCI, and another one is the non-cluster index. Okay. Now if I insert a row, it will go fine, right? Let me turn this off. Okay, hold on. I will go here. Let me just turn these things off. Okay, so I insert one row, it succeeds. And then if I run another row, say I will do the same insert. And notice it has the uniqueness violation because I've created a unique index on that column, right? So this happens now automatically with the non-cluster index. I also want to show you the query optimizer will choose NCI whenever it is needed, okay? So it will does it automatically. If you have a non-cluster index, you run a query on column store index table, it will choose it automatically, okay? In this case, I believe I have a index already. So if I run this command, and I'm going to use the query plan here, and I run this query. So notice, it already used index seek automatically. I do not have to worry about if I create a non-cluster index, optimizer knows that non-cluster index for this query will be superior than doing the table scan through a CCI. You see that? Okay. Now I'll switch back to the performance. So far we talked about the loading and the new structure that we have created. I have 20 minutes. I want to focus on the performance. So let me go to the my slide, and I'm going to talk about query performance changes that we have done. So here, something that we talked about earlier. So what you have is a table. Notice I'm showing you these. In this case, I'm showing you two row groups, right? This is one row group, and this is the next row group. And they are different sizes because each of them compress separately, right? They differently, right? So I'm running a query, which is select product key, sum on sales amount, on sales table, where order date key is So I'm saying, show me the quarterly sales based before a certain date, right? So because I'm accessing one column, product key, sales amount, and the order date key, I'm accessing three columns. And I have how many columns? Six columns in this table, right? So right there, I know I do not have to fetch these three columns, right? I only have to fetch three columns. You see that? And based on this date, I know which row group I need to fetch, right? Because I have the metadata, the min and the max value of each column in my row group. So when you do this, we know we don't have to fetch this guy either. So we are only fetching these three units to process my query, right? So that is one key benefit that we talked about. The next thing is the batch mode processing. This is, again, something available from 2012 onwards. So batch mode processing, what it does is it fetches, as I was talking about, approximately 900 rows in a single batch. Because we are processing not one row at a time, we are processing approximately 900 rows. So this buffer size that we have for the batch is around 64K. So depending on how many columns you're fetching, the number of rows in the batch will be different, right? On average, it is 600 approximately there, right? So this is the range. So what happens is when you do the scan, then you do the predicate, we are just marking in that structure which rows or which values did not satisfy the predicate and so on and so forth. And this structure just moves across the query tree. Now in 2016, we have added new batch mode operators, right? The significant ones are, we have, these are smaller ones, multiple, multi-column distinct. Some of these situations that I'm describing was not in batch mode, but now it is in batch mode. Window aggregates, very, very common construct in analytics. It is now running in batch mode in 2016. You do sort, because you say order by, that sort operator was not batch mode. So think of this way. If some operator is not batch mode, that means it is running slow. It could run faster with the batch mode. And you know why? Because I'm processing a lot of values together. So sort operator is now batch mode in 2016. So those are the new batch mode operators we have done. Now this gets executed behind the scene. You do not have to make any changes to your queries to use those batch mode operators, right? Other thing that we have done are three significant things which I want to describe to you. So let's say I'm doing this sale, select some sales from my sales table. I'm just showing you the column store, right? And my query is, right, select sales, some of my sales. So the way the query will run in 2014, assuming batch mode, here I'm assuming I have 10 million rows in my column store index, 10 million rows. So it will run in the batch mode, right? And aggregation will happen, and it goes much, much faster compared to row store, right? No problem. In 2016, what we did was, instead of feeding the rows to the aggregate operator, which I'm doing on the left side here, we said, why not push the aggregate operator to the scan node, right? So instead of getting rows to the aggregate node, I'm pushing the operator to the scan node. So here, behind the scene, you see this dotted line? I'm going to get the aggregation done, and no row flows here. Now you can think of this way, right? If the no row flows, I'm getting much, much better execution because there's no data copying going on. Everything is being pushed down, right? Anytime you push predicates to the scan node, anytime you push aggregates to the scan node, it's all very good, right? So by doing this, we are able to get 3 to 4 times better performance on top of 2014. Remember I was talking about 2016 gives you much better performance on top of 2014. One reason is new batch operators. Other reason is aggregate push down, okay? Very powerful, and now let me go to the next part, which is the string predicates. Now, you know, in an ideal analytics database design, you do not want to have predicates on strings. You want to have surrogate keys, okay? But there is no, most customers have strings in their data warehouse. I mean, there is no choice. It is the way it was. I can't change it and not deal with it, right? So the string predicates, as you can imagine, is much, much expensive to evaluate, because I'm comparing the full string values compared to integer values, right? Okay. Now, we wanted to make this string processing much, much faster in 2016, right? So what we did was, let's say I have a query which says select average salary from employee where department like engineering. So essentially what we are saying is find me average salaries of engineering department, right? Now, if I have 10 million rows in my department, this will be a huge department, right? 10 million rows. And I think this query is a little bit wrong, my mistake. Because aggregate is going to be done above. So essentially what I'm saying is I'm getting 50 rows in my department of engineering. You see that? Because I have not aggregated the salary here. So far, so good with me? Okay. So how many string comparisons I need to do here? Any guess? Because I'm saying where department like engineering. How many comparisons? Sorry? 10 million comparisons. Agree? Okay. Which can be expensive, right? So here's what we do. And this actually, the right figure is going to be complex. Let me explain that to you. You know, when we store data, let's say I have a department as a column in my column store index, all right? When I store that data, I'm storing million rows, million values together. You agree? Million values together. That is my row group. So if I have string columns, we do not store all the values. What we do is we create a dictionary behind the scene. So there is a dictionary structure for that column, okay? So what we do is, if suppose engineering was one department, we store engineering value in the dictionary, okay? And if there were 50 employees working for my engineering department, we will just say that this department is ID 0, because ID 0 is the engineering value stored in my dictionary, right? So the point I'm making is, we are storing engineering only once in our column source structure, right? Because we are using dictionary. So with 2016, we exploited that fact. What we said was, instead of doing a comparison over here, what we will do, we will push the string predicate down to the scan node. Okay, we are pushing the string predicate down to the scan node. Now that string predicate is not applied on the column values. It is not. It is applied on the dictionary values. Okay? So if I match my dictionary value engineering once, I qualified my 50 values right away. Right? You see that? So by doing that, I'm reducing my string comparisons in a very significant way. Now, here is something interesting. If my data was sitting in the delta store, remember the yellow stuff I was showing you? There's no dictionary, right? Those rows have to be string evaluated, right? So what I'm showing you is some rows are flowing through the filter. Let's say there are 100,000 rows, and a lot of rows are flowing through the compressed row group because I could use dictionary. You see that? So that gives us a much better performance because I can reduce my string comparison significantly in a significant way. You see that? So finally, I want to show you the window aggregates. And this is something is pretty phenomenal. So what we did was the window aggregates are, for example, if you say, show me the running total and you have a window of 1 month, right? So those are window aggregates. Those were not done in batch mode. So what we did was we implemented batch mode processing in 2016 for window aggregates. So here's something interesting. The blue one that you see is the batch mode. And the bar that shows you is the time it took to run the query with and without batch mode, with and without, right? The blue is the batch mode, and without is not the batch mode. Notice some queries ran 300 times faster, right? It's insane. It is that much. Some queries ran 9 times faster. Some queries ran, I think there was some query that ran 2 times faster. Only one query ran faster in row mode than batch mode, okay? That's the anomaly. So the point I'm making is the batch mode with window aggregates can improve your query performance in a significant way. This workload that we ran with batch mode is something like a TPCH-like workload, right? So again, this is happening behind the scene. So those three things, pushdown aggregates, pushdown string predicates, and batch mode aggregates, gives you significant performance, all right? Now let me show you a quick demo on all these three things, and then we will conclude this presentation. Okay, so what I want to show you, the batch mode and the string predicate pushdown and so on and so forth, right? So I'm using this database, and let me go here. Any questions? Sorry? Oh, okay. I did not switch it. Okay, so I'm going to use this database, and I'm going to put the statistics on, okay? And set compatibility mode 130, and I'm just going to do the aggregate, okay? This is the aggregate I'm going to run, and let me put the query plan on, okay? When I run this query, it came back, right? And one thing that I want to show you see the batch mode on this query plan? On the right side, you see the batch mode? Batch mode is your friend, right? If you are seeing a query in column store running slow, first thing you should see is this being executed in the batch mode or not. If it is batch mode, good, okay? The next thing that you see at the bottom, you know, see the actual number of locally aggregated rows, you see that? Let me just do this property. I'm not sure if it's showing here. Is it showing? Yes, you see that? So what it's showing you is, in this case, is push the aggregate down, right? Which is a good thing. And if you look at the number of rows that are coming out of this, notice what it says? Zero. Because remember the dotted line I was showing you? So there is no row flowing from scan node to the aggregate operator to the aggregation because all aggregate was done at the scan node, right? Very powerful. And you will see that because of that, the query performance runs much, much faster. Now, the second thing I want to show you is the string predicate pushdown. I have a very simple example, okay? This customer table has, I think, 150,000 rows, okay? 150,000 rows, okay? I want to show the market segment is a string column. I want to show how many distinct values I got. So I got 5 distinct values. So I got 150,000 rows and distinct values is 5. That means market segment is repeated on average 30,000 times per row. Agree? Okay. If I want to show you the distinct values, I can show you that. So these are the 5 distinct values. Okay. Now this is one of the better cases for a string predicate pushdown because if string predicate pushdown did not happen, right? And if I run this query, which I'm going to run now, which is show sum from customer where market segment is not equal to foo. So do you know how many rows will qualify for this? All of them, right? All of them will qualify. Without the string predicate pushdown, I will do 150,000 comparisons, right? Now with 2016, we are going to leverage the dictionary. So that means I will do 5 comparisons. So let me run this guy. It's going to run insanely fast. I mean, it ran, right? I mean, it's just like a blink of an eye. And I want to show you again in my execution plan here. You will see at the bottom that you see where the predicate is at the bottom here? In the bottom, you see, and you see the foo, right? That means the string predicate was indeed pushed down to the scan node, right? And if I look at the row coming out, it's 0. You see that? And that's what happened here. Okay, string predicate pushed down, and it ran the query much, much faster. The last thing that I want to show you is the window aggregate, all right? And so this is a quick example of a window aggregate. I'm going to run this query, and let's run it. And this should come back very fast, and I will show you that window aggregate that you see here is in the batch mode, right? This is what 2016 gives you, batch mode execution. If I ran the same query in 2014, which I can simulate using a database compatibility level 120, this is 120 compat level, when I run this, it will not run this query in the batch mode, it will not, right? So I'm gonna run the same query. And you will see it will take much longer to run the same query because it was not running in the batch mode. Same SQL Server, it's just that I said do not use batch mode. Okay. I'm going to switch back to my presentation. Any other questions so far? Yes, sir. Right. So the question is, let's say I inserted a million rows, and I want to insert one more row that goes in the middle, what happens? First of all, there is no middle, because data is not ordered. It's like a heap, right? In heap, there is no middle. We are always inserting at the end.
But in the row group?
Even in the row group. Because once the row group is compressed, you don't change it, it becomes read-only. Right? The compressed row group is read-only, the delta row group is also not ordered. It's like a heap. There you go. Question? Yes, sir. Right. So the question is, this is actually a great question. Let me do this. The database compatibility level is a way to minimize regressions and queries when you upgrade from 2012 or 14 or 2016. So you say compat 2012, which is 110, and you go to 16, we will use the same query plans that you had in 110, right? We do not make any query plan changes, right? That's our way to ensure. If you want to get the best performance, we want you to use the latest compat level, okay? Now, I have very few minutes left. We have done significant changes in our supportability of column store index, okay? And I won't have time to do that. We have done, for example, index, like a fragmentation, defragmentation that was not available. I'm gonna run through this rather quickly, okay? We allow index fragmentation, and there are rules. There are rules, and I'm gonna skip this slide. I'm sorry, but this deck will be available to you. We have added new DMVs to show you when the data is compressed. Is it compressed because of bulk load? Because if you look at the row groups and it is not 1 million, you want to know why it is not 1 million, it can tell you it is because of bulk load, is it because of dictionary size, or is it because of memory pressure, and so on. You have a lot more visibility. We have a lot of new X events, new performance counters. So what I'm trying to say is, with 2016, as a DBA, you can diagnose and monitor column store problems in a much easier way than it was available in 2014. Concurrency we talked about, you can get row-level locking. And this is maybe a surprise. If you had always on in 2014 with the cluster column store index, you could not query on the secondary. Readable secondary was not available for CCI. But now it is available in 2016 with CCI, okay? With that, I conclude the session. I just want to summarize. I hope I have convinced you, number one, SQL 16 column store is superior to 2014 with a lot of improvements. It is the industry-leading technology, and it does not require any application change to use it and try it. So I'll recommend go and try it and see what benefits you get. Thank you for coming, and have a great day. Yeah.